Good morning, everyone. We're going to talk about Noah, the man of faith. I mentioned last week the doctrine of original sin that Augustine of Hippo created in about 418 AD, so the 5th century. And I'm not up here to attack anyone's doctrines, but I ask that if you read those, that you would compare them to Scripture. What does the Scripture say? It's very easy, if you've been raised or trained to think a certain way, to approach Scripture on that basis. And as I said, Augustine himself admitted that the Scripture did not articulate his theory. And there's been a lot of subsequent theories come out of that. Total depravity, total inability, irresistible grace, and the list goes on and on and on, as it does when they build off that. So I'm endeavoring to look at just what the Bible says. Don't put anything in, don't take anything out. Just see what the Scriptures say. Because this is God's witness to his church. Paul said it's been left for our example. God reveals himself through these Scriptures, how he feels about sin, how he feels about us. It talks about his judgment, his mercy, his faithfulness. And in today's story about Noah, we're going to see God's faithfulness, mercy, and judgment. So we will be in Genesis chapter 7 and verses 1 through 16. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Take with you 7 pairs of all clean animals, the male and his female, and a pair of the animals that are not clean, the male and his mate, and 7 pairs of the birds of the heavens also, male and female, to keep their offspring alive on the face of all the earth. For in 7 days I will send rain on the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living thing that I have made I will blot out from the face of the ground. And Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters came upon the earth, and Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him went into the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Of clean animals and of animals that are not clean, and of birds and of everything that creeps on the ground, 2 and 2, male and female, went into the ark with Noah, as God had commanded him. And after 7 days, the waters of the flood came upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 2nd month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of the heavens were open. And rain fell upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the 3 wives of his sons with them entered the ark. They and every beast according to its kind, and all the livestock according to their kinds, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, every winged creature." Pardon me. "They went into the ark with Noah, 2 and 2 of all flesh in which there was the breath of life. And those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in." Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the witness that you have left for us, that we may learn from you, Lord, that we may learn what you love and what you hate, that we may be molded by your word to understand your character and the character that you wish your people to have. I ask your blessing on this service this morning. Bless me as I bring this word to your people. Let me decrease and you increase. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We read that the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Noah was a man of fellowship with God. It says in chapter 6 that Noah walked with God. And I may have mentioned this Wednesday night, that Hebrew word there, walk, halak, means to continually walk and to talk to God, to converse with God. So Noah was a man who had a relationship with God. Now, if you follow some of the doctrines that are floating around out there, that the nature of sin passed on to Adam and Eve and hence on to their descendants, then you would have to surmise then that Noah was born with this nature of sin. He was born with total depravity. He was born with total inability, and he could not have walked with God unless God caused him to be born again by the Holy Spirit. I know that's thrown a lot at you, but I'm saying, sit and think about this a minute. I told you with Cain, God warned Cain. He knew what Cain was going to do. He appealed to Cain as a man of conscience. He gave Cain a choice. God said, if you do this, I will accept you. If you don't do this, all these consequences are coming on you. And we read what happened. Noah walked with God. That is a choice of a free will. He was the only person, according to the scriptures, who chose to walk and talk with God. You talk about a minority. How would you like to be the only person in this whole world who had a relationship with God? I cannot imagine the pressure that Noah came under, the fire that he came under from the people of his day, because he chose to walk with God, which means he not only prayed, but he obeyed God. There was no written law, but men are made in the image of God, and men knew good from evil. The Bible says that plainly. After Adam and Eve sinned, God said, now they know good and evil. It doesn't say all they know is evil. So the men knew right from wrong, and Paul said in Romans chapter 1, they knew God. They just chose not to glorify him as God. That's where idol worship, homosexuality, lesbianism, pedophile, anything you care to name, that's where all this got started. Because Paul said men rejected God. They turned away from God. They turned within. They worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. And we are not animals, but we are creatures. We are creatures of the Lord's salvation or creation. And that means to me that men worship not only the stars and the heavens and made images to look like animals, but man began to worship himself. If it feels right, do it. This was the world that Noah lived in. The Bible says it was full of violence, it was full of corruption, and it was so wicked that God was sorry that he had made him. I think the King James says the Lord repented that he had made man. That's pretty bad. The God of love looked at mankind and said, I'm sorry I ever made them. But as I said, the ark is a story of faithfulness, because after the fall, you remember God told the man and the woman and the devil, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So God promised right after the fall that there was a Messiah coming. He said there'd be a man born of the woman. If he had totally wiped mankind out, he'd have broken that promise. God doesn't break promises. God doesn't break his word. the world had become so desperately wicked. God, I think God said, I can't let this go on. But one guy found grace in his sight. And because he's a God of his word, he spared Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives. God had every right as a creator. He could have wiped every bit of it out and said, I'm done. This just wasn't a good idea. But he didn't do that. He made a promise that he was bringing a man to be born of a woman who was going to bruise the serpent's head. And God doesn't lie. So God, because Noah had fellowship with God, because Noah talked to God, God in his mercy said, Noah, I'm getting ready to flood the earth. And I want you to build this big boat. The ark would have been about 450 foot long, 75 foot high, and I think 65 feet wide, if I remember right, or 60 feet wide. It was a big boat. Had three decks on it. There was plenty of room. And God, in his mercy, told Noah, I'm getting ready to destroy the earth. You need to build a boat. And Noah, in faith, built the boat. I said I was called this Noah, the man of faith. Noah believed what God said. God said, I'm going to wipe this place out with a flood, and I want you to build a boat. Here's the dimensions. I'm going to bring these animals to you. You and your family get on the boat. You get the animals on the boat. I want you to store enough food on the boat, because I'm going to wipe people out with a flood. The Bible says that Noah, being warned of God concerning events as yet unseen, to my understanding in the scriptures, it hadn't rained yet on the earth. It says God caused a mist to come up and water the ground. And God said, no, it's going to rain. And Noah goes, well, okay, I'm not sure what that is, but you said you're going to flood the earth. I'm going to build a boat. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. How many believe the Lord's coming back? Amen. Do we live that way? Do we tell others? You see, Peter writes that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. It doesn't mean that Noah got up every Sunday and did a sermon, but it means while Noah was building the boat, Noah was warning the people of that time, there's judgment coming. You can imagine people were curious when they saw him building this big ship, and they're up there saying, what's old nutty Noah up to? And they may have come up and even said, why are you building that so far from the sea, out here in the middle of a plain? And Noah would say, God's going to flood the earth. God's sick of the wickedness. God's going to judge this earth. Y'all will be wiped out. And here's your chance. And I know that because it's Peter said God's patience waited in the days of Noah. They figure it took about 100 years to build this ark. And for 100 years, Noah worked on the ark and Noah preached. And the Bible says God patiently waited. That's his mercy. God said, I've already determined I'm destroying this. I'm destroying these people. But there was a window of opportunity for them to come and repent. They could have said, you know, Noah, I think I'm going to get on the boat with you, and I think they'd have been welcomed. Noah would have said, well, yeah, there's plenty of room, get on the boat. Nobody wanted to get on the boat. They laughed at Noah. They probably sat in the bar and talked about old nutty Noah, toasted Noah, you know, made fun of Noah, probably walked by and ridiculed him and said, what an idiot, what a religious fanatic. And Noah, undaunted, kept building the boat because Noah believed what God was going to do. God said, I'm going to destroy it. Noah said, I got to build the boat. God in mercy told Noah. Noah, in turn, told the people, there's judgment coming. So that shows God's faithfulness to his promise, God's mercy to us. I know we weren't there then, but I'm saying it. Mankind, in his mercy, God warned them. He gave them a chance to repent. None of them repented. And then it shows his judgment. Now, we know, or we should know, God is a God of his word. When he says something's going to happen, it's going to happen. If he said something isn't going to happen, it won't happen. The scriptures say that he told Noah, get on the boat. And it said God sealed them in. God closed the door. At that moment, his offer of mercy was over for the people of the world. That sealing of the door showed my judgment's coming. It's here. The sealing of the door showed my covenant with Noah will be established. But it said to the world, that's it. Don't you know when the water started, it said the fountains of the deep broke open. I was watching a show and they were doing these soundings on the ocean floor looking for oil. And they said all over the ocean floors, they found these ridges and it looked as though the ocean floors had split and then came back together. And they say that the springs, the waters under there, the pressure would have been so great when they split, they estimate that it would have shot fountains into the air for 10 miles. 10 miles high. And the Bible says the fountains of the deep broke open, the windows of heaven opened. You remember in creation it said God separated the waters on the earth from those above the earth. And he made the heavens to hold the waters that were over the earth. So the windows opened, the water was coming down, the water was coming up. Don't you know there was a lot of people saying, I repent. Noah, I believe you. Open the door. Let me in. I believe. But see, once God sealed the door, mercy was over. Except for Noah and his family. The offer of God's mercy was done. It said the floodwaters came. The ark was borne up. They spent 5 months adrift. They spent 10 months living on the ark because of the flood. And one thing that I noticed when you read the account, when God gives the dimensions of the ship, there's two things in the scriptures that are not mentioned as part of that ship, or which are two very important things of any ship. That's the rudder and the helm. The rudder and the helm are used to steer a ship. And for 5 months, Noah and party were adrift on the oceans, on the waters, with no way to steer. One window. They stood below decks. God guided that ark. For 5 months, they sat in that dark, dingy boat. No idea where they were going. But they had to trust. Noah had to trust that God was in control. God was the one who guided that boat. It says the water went up 15 cubits above the tallest mountains. If that ark would have run across top of a mountain, it could have ripped a hole, depending on how deep she was set, and it could have ripped a hole in the bottom and sunk. There was a lot of things come into play, and yet Noah trusted God to guide that ark. Noah did not get to be in control. And I want you to know, for a man, that's a hard thing. I think if it was repeated and God said, I want you to build a boat, and I've never built one, but if he enabled me to do it, that'd been one of the first things I'd have said, where's the helm? Where's the rudder? How am I going to steer this thing? And God would say, Rick, you don't get to steer it. Wait a minute. Can we talk about this? I got to have some kind of control here. Noah didn't get to be in control. Noah had to trust God. Noah moved by faith. He built the ark. The animals got on. The floods came. They rode the floods for 150 days and then spent almost another 5 months waiting for the waters to abate. Now, God promised he'd never destroy this earth with a flood again, but he didn't promise he wouldn't destroy it. Peter said this earth here that you and I are on now is reserved for fire. He said the earth and the elements, the universe, the stars, the elements, everything around us will melt with a fervent heat. God's going to burn it up. But he's going to create a new heavens and a new earth. Jesus Christ is our ark, church. The ark is a parallel of what Jesus Christ was going to do for God's people. God will destroy this earth again. Judgment is coming on this earth, on all mankind. And just as God waited patiently in Noah's day, he waits patiently today. God is saying to man today, you better get on board. Judgment is coming. Church, we need to be warning people. Jesus said repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached, starting at Jerusalem and then to the whole world. And I know today so many people are telling the church, we don't want to hear it. They're doing like they did to the prophet Ezekiel. Just say nice stuff. Just say the stuff that makes us feel all gooey on the inside. Judgment's coming, church. God is going to destroy this earth. The Bible says that he's going to judge the wicked. He's going to reward the righteous. You who are here, hopefully you have sought your refuge in Jesus Christ, but it doesn't end there. Just as Noah was building the boat and warning the people, church, just because you're in Christ does not free you or me from the obligation of warning those around us. Judgment's coming. Well, what if they laugh? Let them laugh. Well, they'll make fun of us. Let them make fun of us. But at least when you stand before the judgment seat, God won't say, why didn't you warn them? Why didn't you tell people? There's an atheist, very famous magician. He said, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in heaven, I don't believe in hell, but if there is a hell, I can't believe the Christians are so unloving as they wouldn't warn people of it. Do you believe there's a judgment coming? So do I. Have you found refuge in Jesus Christ? Amen. Are you just going to, so to speak, get on the boat and let everybody else do what they will? Let them fend for themselves? I'm not saying all of us are called to be preachers. The Holy Spirit has different administrations of different gifts for different believers. But it's so easy sometimes to say, oh well, they got the Bible, they can read the Bible, they can watch the TV preachers, you know, excuse after excuse. Church, we need to be warning. Our generation, we are responsible. You and I are responsible for this generation of the world. I'm not talking about being radical and being in their face. But Peter said, always be ready to give an answer. We need to be ready, willing, and able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people. To tell people there's judgment coming. Jesus said it would be in the last days like it was in the days of Noah. People would be eating, drinking, getting married until the day the flood swept them away. And Jesus said his coming's just like that. Y'all know I don't believe in this rapture. Because if you believe in the rapture, God's going to take church out and then people have 7 years till Jesus comes back. Jesus said, you don't know when I'm coming back. I don't know when I'm coming back. But he said, I'm coming like a thief. He said, just as it was in the days of Noah, people will go on as they've always went on. Paul said in Thessalonians, when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction will come. Church, that's how we need to live. We need to live every day as though the Lord Jesus could come back any minute, and yet plan ahead as though it'll be 100 years before he does come back. Get what I'm saying? We need to be evangelistic. We need to tell people, hey, there is a God. There's going to be a judgment. But he's provided a way for you and I to escape that. And the wrath is coming. Noah just didn't build the boat and keep to himself. Peter said Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Noah warned people. Did it do any good? No. But it freed Noah. Noah wasn't responsible for that generation of people. He warned them, and they wouldn't listen. Church, that's what we're called to do. If you have never called on the name of the Lord, then what are you waiting for? That's a personal thing everybody in this room has to do. Your mom and dad can't do it for you. Your grandparents can't do it for you. You are responsible to call out on the name of the Lord, to ask God to forgive you, to ask God to cleanse you, and to ask God to make you born again through the Holy Spirit and flee to that safety that we have in Jesus Christ. That's your decision. Noah didn't drag anybody on that boat. They all went up there of their own free will. Would you stand with me this morning? Lord God, I pray that anyone here today, within the hearing of my voice, that have never called on you, that this would be a day of salvation. Father, I pray that you will stir our hearts to be evangelists, each and every one of us, that we might walk in sincerity and godliness before the people that are around us, and we might be ready to give an answer as your word says to. Give us the boldness to speak your word and to share your gospel with those around us. I ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen.